The Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, some of you might be familiar with the word hangry. And some of you might think that I'm making up a new word for Scrabble this morning. You won't find this word in a dictionary, but just to prove to you that this word exists, I brought a picture with me up here on the screen. Hangry is a word used in text message lingo. And this guy on the screen, this is a Bitmoji, a little character used in text messaging. As you can tell from the Bitmoji, hangry describes someone who becomes angry when they are hungry. There's only one known treatment for this condition: food. Last week, Jesus turned 5 barley loaves and 2 fish into a sumptuous feast for 5,000. With 12 baskets of leftovers. This week, the crowd who ate is following the breadcrumbs across the sea. They were hangry, and Jesus fed them. Now they want more. Jesus could tell that they missed the point of his sign. "Very truly, I tell you," he says, "you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." In their eyes, Jesus is clearly little more than a vending machine. He would neatly fit into some corner of their lives, turning pocket change into food for the masses. Vending machines provide a quick fix for the hangry appetite. Once treated with food, the hangry person will become pleasant, even enjoyable, for a few more hours. When the food wears off, the hanger returns just as sharp and irritable as it was before. Food is a treatment for this condition and not a cure, because food is perishable. It's meant to be consumed, and it's incapable of giving life beyond its own existence. Jesus knows that the crowd's heart is set on their stomachs and not on God. He cautions them, saying, "Do not work for the food that perishes." How you and I need to hear those words. We live in a country that thrives on consuming the food that perishes. According to an article published by Business Insider last year, The average American consumes more than 3,600 calories a day, well above the recommended daily amounts. The Nielsen Total Audience Report announced that between January and March of this year, the average U.S. citizen consumed more than 11 hours of media each day, nearly a full-time job and a half. The average American family in 2017, according to an article on CNBC, lived with $8,377 of credit card debt. We gorge ourselves on the food that perishes, yet we are closer to death than we are to life. Our trust is misplaced if we look to created things for life. They may appear to satisfy our hangry appetites in the moment, but they will leave us empty and hungry again. Too often, I see people use the food that perishes to compensate for some deeper pain. Pornography to cover up troubles in a relationship. Drugs to numb uncomfortable feelings. Video games to offset a negative self-image. Sugar for a quick burst of energy and a feel-good rush. Created things can treat the hangry condition of our souls, but they will never be able to cure us. In the end, they will only consume us as we have consumed them. The pursuit of perishable bread consumes much of our time and our energy. Yet God did not create you and me to be consumed. Jesus urges the crowd to consider the object of their devotion. Instead of working for the food that perishes, they could work for the food that endures for eternal life, which they will receive from the Son of Man. This food is altogether different than the perishable food of this world. There is no Best Buy or expiration date on it. There is always enough, no matter how many eat of it. It comes down from our Father in heaven, curing the hangry appetite and giving life to the world. The crowd is practically drooling with excitement. Sir, give us this bread always. To which Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. All who trust in Jesus are fed with the transcendent life, eternal life, God's own life. This life is not marked by the self-indulgence that prevents us from seeing past our stomachs to our toes, let alone to the needs of our neighbors. It is an other-centered life, a God-centered life, marked by care and concern for the life of the world. One who was other became like us in Jesus. He did not come into the world so he could distribute our bread. He came into the world so he could be our bread. He wore our flesh on the cross and poured out his life for us like wine upon the rocks. He forgives our sins and shares his eternal life with us in the Lord's Supper. He gives our tired hearts rest in God, hearts that are exhausted from constantly chasing after that which the stomach desires. And he cures our hangry souls. When we eat the bread of life, we are turned from our self-centered navel-gazing to God, who is the other our souls hungered for all along. The heart set on God finds what it needs to care for life in the world. God sets the consumer of porn free from fantasy and delusion, to deal with the complications of a real romantic relationship. God gives the drug addict courage to face what's inside, not as something to be feared, but as something to be embraced by divine love. God saves the gamer who learns to live as a hero in the physical world rather than the digital one. God energizes the weary, bearing whatever burden saps them of strength and reinvigorating their lives. The bread of life is for the world, and it has been given to you and to me. Who do you know that is hungry? Who do you know that is tired? How might you share what you yourself have received in abundance from God's hand? As you go through your week, let your generosity be a sign of God's goodness and love. Today, you are filled with the bread of life.